Psalm 24 opens with these words, "The earth is the Lord's." You know, men live on this earth, and they divide it into nations and countries. And each nation makes itself a flag and sets over that nation a ruler, a king, or a president. And then they begin to fight over the boundaries. But the earth is the Lord's. It doesn't belong to men. It belongs to Him. And men divide these nations into states or territories, and they talk with pride about how they came to be, who they are, and where they are, and what they are. I'm a Southerner, or I'm a Yankee, or I'm a Virginian or a Kentuckian, and they have great pride about these individual territories that they call their own. And then men divide these states into cities, into ranches, and farms, and estates, and lots, and they sell them to each other. And they issue little deeds on paper. Deeds, title deeds of ownership. They say, "This is mine. It belonged to my father, and to his father, and to his father before him." But the scripture says, what does it say? The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. Job wrote this. He said, God said, "Who hath first given to me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine." You and I are but tenants here. Temporary residence. We're living on His earth. We're eating His food. We're wearing His clothes. We're breathing His air. Everything we have, I've sat there a moment ago and thought about this. Everything you have, your clothes, your car sitting out there, your home, your food, everything we have came from the earth. See, our clothes, the cotton grew and they picked it and made clothes out of it. Well, I got my clothes, my animal. That animal came from the earth and going back to the earth. Even you came from the earth. God made the earth first and He got everything from it. Every single thing we have came from the earth, even this flesh. And one day, it'll go back to us. So we're but tenants. And we're subject to eviction at any moment. The great owner of all things sitteth in the heavens, and He says, "The earth is mine. Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine." And look at the next line. "And the fullness thereof." The fullness thereof. Have you thought about this? When God made the earth, when He made the earth, when He finished everything, He said it's good. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the earth. He created everything that's here. Created man, placed him on the earth. And He said, it's good, it's full and good. The earth was full and fit for life. Let me show you that. Genesis 1, this is interesting. Turn over here. When God finished creating the heavens and the earth, He said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, "And God said to the man, Behold, I've given you every herb, every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, every
Every tree will reproduce itself. Every herb will reproduce itself. Every plant. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Everything's finished. Everything's fit for life. Everything's full. And God keeps it full. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He hasn't had to recreate. He hasn't had to replenish. That first creation, it was full and it's remained full. The seas, the rivers, and the lakes remain full despite all the water that's evaporated and risen back to heaven. It's still full. The waters remain full of fish despite all that we've caught and eaten. Can you imagine how many fish have been taken out of the streams and the rivers and the lakes and the ocean? Trillions. Every year. It still remains full. Have you thought about how much food people consume on this earth? How much fruit and vegetables and food, and how much leaves and food animals eat, birds, and the trillions and trillions and trillions of animals and insects and birds and beasts and people consume, and yet it remains full. The air is full, notwithstanding every set of lungs that breathes air. The soil is full of life, though trillions of plants and trees and flowers and vegetables are taken from it, but they still take after all these thousands of years. The earth is full of minerals, though millions and millions have taken from it and burned it up. Somebody says, I own mineral rights. No, you don't. You use them. He owns them. Turn to Psalm 50, about just a few pages. I love this statement. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof is His and guaranteed by Him. The fullness, it remains full. Full of provisions, full of blessings, full of benefits, full of whose hand? His hand. Psalm 50, verse 10. Psalm 50, verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. It's mine. Everything we have is borrowed. He created all things. And by Him all things are held together. Back in my text. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Listen, the world and they that dwell therein. The old Jews used to say, they had a saying, the Holy Land is God's. And Israel is His only people. How foolish. The world is mine and all they that dwell therein. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine. The Gentiles built Him a building. And they call it God's house. We've got a lot of those in this country. God's houses. I always got amused that the building out here on 13th Street used to be God's rescue mission. We build Him a building and call it God's house and call ourselves God's people. The Lord God owns all the world and they that dwell therein. They're all His creation and His people, the sheep of His pasture. He hath made us and not we ourselves. We're His people. I don't make Him my Lord. He is my Lord. I don't make Him king. I don't crown Him king. He wears that by right. Isn't that true?
The world is his by creation. The world is his by decree. Our Lord Jesus said, Thou hast given me all authority over all flesh. He said to his disciples, I have all authority in heaven and earth. All power. It is his by purchase. He died that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. It's his by administration. Isaiah 9:6 says this. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. The government on his shoulders. So what I'm saying is this, and what David is saying here, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And all people are either his sons or his servants. But they're his. You see what I'm saying? Now watch it. All people, they're either his sheep or his goats, but they're his. They're his. They're either his vessels of mercy, and in a great house, there are vessels of honor and dishonor, but they're either his vessels of mercy or his vessels of wrath, but they're his. They're either his vessels of honor or his vessels of dishonor. But they're his. For, he said, verse 2, here's the chief reason why the earth is the Lord's and the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it. He made it. Let me read you a scripture from the book of Revelation, chapter 4. It says here in chapter 4, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. You're worthy of glory and honor and power because You created all things. Isn't this awesome? To think that I'm wearing a shirt or a suit that once was in the earth and it grew through a plant and someone picked the fabric and put it on a mill and fixed it up so I could... Isn't it amazing when you plant a seed, a little shriveled, wrinkled seed, and it rains, and the sun shines, and it comes up, and there's food to put on the table? Isn't that awesome? What a mind! What majesty! What wisdom! What glory! Now, you know, when someone accomplishes some unusual event or activity, we brag on it. We say, my, that's good. That's great. Well, I look into the heavens this morning and I say, that's great. That's good. Thou art worthy to receive all the glory and the honor because Thou hast created all things. Listen. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. For His pleasure. People take great pleasure in great accomplishments. So does he. So does he. Over here in the book of Proverbs, it says this. Let me read you this. In Proverbs 16, verse 4, it says this. The Lord hath made all things for himself. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. I can't explain that, but the earth is the Lord's, verse 2 says, for he founded it. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. What's that mean? He founded it with water above and water beneath. And 2/3 of its water. One day he destroyed it with water and every living thing. Someday he'll destroy it by fire. He said never again by water, but he'll destroy it by fire. But he founded this earth, the waters above and the waters beneath. Founded it upon the seas. And even those seas are held in, the scripture says they're held in their boundaries by his hand. My point is, and David's point is, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all they that dwell therein. And we should magnify his name and honor and glorify his great power. Now watch the next line. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? David, knowing something about this majesty of God, this holiness of God, this glory of God, this might of God, this awesome character of God. So he asked, who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? This hill of the Lord is the heaven of heavens, the throne of God. Back here in Psalm 2, it said this. Listen, in Psalm 2, it says in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And here David is talking about this glory of God, this awesome majesty and power of God. And he says, who's going to ascend into this presence? The throne of his majesty and glory and justice and holiness. I hear an awful lot of folks today talking about their familiarity with God and how they go to God all the time. God comes to them and God talks to them and so forth and so on. But David asks a serious question here. What man is going to actually, from this place called earth, when I consider the heavens, he said, the sun, the moon, the stars thou hast made, what is man that thou art even mindful of him, even aware of him? Now, David talks about what man is going to actually ascend into the hill of his holiness? Who's going to stand in this holy place? The question here is not who's going to run in, run out. Who's going to go in and dwell there? Who's going to dwell there? Who's going to dwell there? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, David said later, or earlier. But who? And the answer comes in verse 4. Here it is, for all who want to know. When the rich young man came to Christ and said, what good thing shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God? He gave him this answer, keep the commandments. Fulfill the requirements. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. You want to do something? You want to be one of those that ascends into the holy hill, a hill of his holiness, and stand or dwell in his presence? Then be perfect. That's what he says in verse 4, he that hath clean hands. He's never sinned. His hands are pure. He that hath a pure heart. Holy nature, a holy motive, holy imagination. He who hath never lifted up his soul to vanity. That is, perfect love for God's will and God's way. Never has varied in the slightest from the perfect will of God. Never has his soul, let alone his mouth, ever been lifted up to vanity. Never had a worldly thought. Has never sworn deceitfully. His word has always been perfect truth. There it is. Because this is a description of our God. It's a holy hill. It's a hill of his holiness. Who's going to, he just talked about who the Lord is. He said, who's going to ascend into this hill of holiness? And who's going to dwell there? Well, I'll tell you who. People without sin, without fault, without stain or mark. Perfect. Now, verse 5, that person, that man shall receive the blessing from the Lord. That man. If he can be found, he'll receive the blessing. What is the blessing? Listen. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee and to dwell in thy presence. That's the blessing. And that man, verse 5, shall receive righteousness, holiness from the God of his salvation. Listen, blessed is the man to whom God will not charge sin. Blessed is the man to whom God imputeth not transgressions. There we are. Verse 6 says, this is the generation, this is the description. You can write that in there. This is the description. This is the characteristic of them that seek Him. That seek Thy face, O God of Jacob. Well, brother man, there is no such man. Oh, yes, there is. Brother man, there is no man and no woman with clean hands and a pure heart who's never, ever lifted up his soul to vanity nor told anything but absolute perfect truth. Yes, there is. Pilate pointed to him one day and said, behold, the man. Paul wrote about him. He said, there's one God, one mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. John the Baptist pointed to it, behold, the man, the Lamb of God. That's who I'm pointing to this morning. There is such a person. Only one to whom these promises and blessings and righteousness applies, and that's to the blessed Son of God. And the Father said, this is the man in whom I'm well pleased. And the wonderful thing about it is that he didn't have to do that for himself. The man didn't have to become the man for his sake, but for my sake, the man. The man didn't have to leave heaven and put on the rags of mortality and lie in human flesh and blood. He didn't have to for his sake, he did it for my sake. That man was born of a woman and made under the law that he might redeem them that were born under the law. He's our man. He's the God-man. Adam was the first man, and in Adam we all died. Christ is the second Adam, second man. In Christ we're made alive. And what he did for us. So I have in him, through his obedience and representation and substitution, clean hands. Because God doesn't look on us, he looks on him. That's right, that's substitution, that's satisfaction. I do have a pure heart. Not in this flesh, but in my Savior. In the new man, in Christ there is no sin. That's right. You see that? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. All right, verse 7 now. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I tell you, the gates of God's kingdom have been closed a long time, haven't they? Bowed down and closed. The doors of that kingdom have been shut, and these words written over it, no admittance. God put Adam out of the garden and put a flaming sword and said, don't you come back. Don't you come back. Don't you come back. No one will enter here except clean hands and a pure heart who's never lifted his soul to vanity, who's never sworn deceitfully. But David, the psalmist, says, hey, doors, open up. Hey, gate. I can see that old castle gate, you know, they used to pull up this way, roll it, and it didn't open this way, it opened this way. Up. Lift up your head. The King of glory is coming in. And, Lucifer said, I'll enter. I will exalt my throne to the stars of God. No, you'll be cast down to hell. Adam said, I'll go in. I'll be like God. No, he failed. The builders of the tower to heaven, the Tower of Babel, says, we'll build our way. No, you won't. But here comes the cry. The King of Glory shall come in. And the answer comes back from heaven. Who is this King of Glory? Who is this one that's coming in from down there? Who is this one from outside that's coming in? Well, I'll tell you who he is. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. And he's strong and mighty. He's able to do all that he promised. He's our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall not fail. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to do all that he promised. He's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like his own. He's strong and mighty. He's able. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord, mighty and victorious in battle. He has conquered. He has met justice and satisfied it. He's met Satan and defeated him. He's crushed the power of evil. He's redeemed all his people. He cried at the cross, "It's finished!" And heaven opened to receive him. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Triumphantly, gloriously, victoriously. He's coming in. And one more time the question comes, who is this King of Glory? This is what thrills me. He's the Lord of hosts. You see that word host, the heavenly host. How many are there? The Lord asked Abraham that one day, how many stars up there, Abraham? Oh, I couldn't begin to number. The heavenly host. How many angels and seraphims and cherubims? The heavenly host. Well, this is the Lord of hosts. And he's not coming in alone. That's what we're talking about here. All right, gates open up. Doors swing wide. The Lord of Glory is coming in. Because he's strong and mighty. Because he's mighty in battle. Because he's won the victory. He's coming in triumphantly, victoriously. He's coming in. But watch out. He's the Lord of hosts. He's bringing with him a number which no man can number. Out of every tribe and kindred and nation and tongue unto heaven, he's bringing them with him. Bringing them with him. What's that they sing? Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the Lord of hosts brings his people home. Won't that be a day? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again. I'll come after you and receive you unto myself because we're going in together. Going in together. The Lord of hosts. You know, I thought when I prepared this message from Psalm 24, who said the Old Testament saints didn't know anything about Christ? Bob, who is this but Christ? Jim? It's the Lord of hosts. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So lift up your heads, O ye gates. The King of Glory is coming in. Who is this King of Glory? It's not me. Not the Baptist Church. It's not Mary. It's not the saints of old or the martyrs. It's not Abraham or Moses. It's the Lord himself, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. And thank God he's the Lord of hosts.